Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Listen to the watchman on the wall. Good morning. Did you get any of Blog Talk Radio?
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
So good to see you guys. God bless your heart. We're still... Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Wonderful to be with you today. And if you're joining me early as the early bird catches the worm on Facebook or YouTube, you're seeing the wonderful smiling faces of our dear friends, Brian and Kathy Gray. God bless you both. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you? We're hanging in there.
How did your appointment go yesterday? Oh man, I have a funny story about going to dentists. Many years ago, before I was a pastor, my pastor, R. Paul Carroll, wanted to help me save some money. So we were in San Diego. He said, "Let's go to Mexico and get it done." I said, "All right, let's go." So I went to Mexico. He took me into an office, and I remember I sat in the chair, and all I heard were they were knocking walls down next to me. There were drills, and all of a sudden he's working on my mouth, and I didn't get any anesthetics. I didn't get any, anything to numb anything. And all I know, this guy was pulling on my tooth. Now, Paul told me before we got there, he said, "The measure of pain you'll feel will be to the measure of righteousness." I had so much pain. So I thought, man, I was in so much trouble. But anyways, I'm sure you had a much more pleasant experience than I had. That was brutal. That was absolutely brutal.
The last time I've been to the dentist was when I got out of the Marine Corps in 1988. So there was a reason for that.
Absolutely. So let me keep saying hello here to everyone. Let's just make sure we have a good audio check right now, guys. Keep on speaking into that. Yeah, I think so.
As we say in Honduras, it's chicken like a pancake.
Say that again.
Chicken like a pancake.
All right. That It sounds like leche, something to do with milk.
No, more like good pancakes.
I love good pancakes. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Good morning. And I do hope that you're being heard here this morning. And to our friends, yes, loud and clear. So we know on Facebook and YouTube, we have a loud and clear. And hopefully on Blog Talk Radio, we have a loud and clear there as well. We were on the air yesterday while you were in your appointment. We missed having you both out here. Everything seems to have changed so rapidly, such an acceleration of events all over the world, from American satellites being jammed and attacked by Russian and Chinese troops, the Ukrainian-Russian, face-to-face confrontation with NATO forces stepping in over there, a school shooting in Oxford, Michigan, where three children and a fourth has died now as a result of that classroom shooting, with the idea of disarming the American citizens of their Second Amendment rights. And then we had the two major Supreme Court cases in Mississippi with a threat of a Congresswoman, Mrs. Shahi, who is threatening a revolution if you ever dare stop letting us, commit mass murder. And then, of course, the big Ed Jeffrey Epstein case is going on, and we go on and on and on. Just so many things are happening. And, yesterday I just kind of, cried out from Leviticus chapter 26 about, what I felt was happening from a biblical perspective. And I remember several times through yesterday's broadcast, I thought, gee, I wish Brian and Kathy were here. We'd be talking about some other stuff maybe. But your thoughts, what is on your heart today? What do you want to say to the body of Christ? And what direction would you all like to move in on this Thursday morning?
I think that yesterday's message was spot on. That was powerful. Your messages are always powerful, but like yesterday was –
timely.
There's a reason why we weren't on, and it wasn't anything to do with the dentist appointment. And that was the message that needed to be shared yesterday.
Wow.
And, everything's happening so fast. We're sitting here, and Honduras just became a communist country, right, while we're sitting here.
Yeah, you said that. Speak into that. That's amazing.
We have the president of Honduras. Not too many people probably follow news out of Honduras. It's sort of like we don't matter kind of a country, so people think. But if you consider Honduras, it's right smack in the middle of Central America. We have an American base here. It's where, it's the base where the drug war was run out of, with Bush's Reagan and everything else like that. And it's been a very staunchly anti-communist country in the face of its neighbors becoming communist. When I was in the Marines, we were getting constantly called out on air alert for, something going on the Nicaragua or Salvador border, where there was a civil war. You probably remember the Iran-Contra scandal during that time. And, but it's always been staunchly anti-communist. But the brother of the president, Juan Orlando, they call him Ho here, J-O-H. But his brother is doing life in prison now for drug trafficking, and the word in the United States, yeah. And so, and a word on the street here is that he's a narco trafficker himself, and he seems to be trying to consolidate all the assets and everything in the country for himself. The healthcare in the country is terrible. Any aid that comes in, it's just sort of like from the United States foreign aid, which that's bad if you understand it, anyways. But he's taking it in and just trying to buy up and privatize all the assets and put them in his name. And so what happened is that the country is just like, can't deal with this corruption. And so the previous president's wife, her name was Mel Zelaya, who was overthrown by a coup in 2009, a military coup. And his wife, Xiomara Castro, who is a staunch, she's an absolute Marxist. She's a friend of Maduro. She respects Maduro. She loves Cuba. And, and if you listen to her speeches and what she has to say, she's completely Marxist. And on top of that, it's
She's been elected.
Yeah, so she's been elected. Yeah. So she's been elected.
Woman president. And the previous president who's now in is the Obama administration. Make sure he got elected.
Yeah, and so now another thing that's important is previously the current administration that was just deposed was very pro-Taiwan, recognizing the sovereignty of Taiwan. Now they're going to switch their alignment
Wow.
So you're going to have China, Cuba, Venezuela. With Venezuela comes possibly Iran, you know, and so why that matters for the United States is that, you know, well, strategically, Honduras is right smack in the depth. It's the only country in Central America that has both a port on the western side and the eastern side. And, you know, anything that comes up from South America has to come up from Honduras. And it's a major strategic point. The only place where we have an actual full military base here that's kind of protecting,
wow,
protecting the United States. Yeah. And so, I mean, there's just so many things. But Peru just went full on communist, you know. I mean, there was a communist revolution that was going on all through the 80s and the 90s in Peru. And now that they just became communist. Nicaragua is communist. El Salvador seems to have a pretty good president, but I don't know how he's going to do, because he's bucking the big bankers by making Bitcoin an official currency in his country. They actually have an entire community that's based on Bitcoin.
Wow. Okay.
The idea is to decentralize everything, so I don't know how things are going to go for him.
Well, how did it work that, you know, you just said yesterday that you became a communist, and was it because of the president, or what created it?
The election was...
Oh, the election. Gotcha. Interesting. Very interesting. What a strange thought that Central America, South America, is going communist. I mean, that is a really strange, awkward thought, and the feeling behind that is kind of dark. It's very interesting. And so it's spreading like a cancer, spreading like a cancer. So you both are standing outside of the United States of America. I mean, you are seeing things from outside the forest. You know, it's hard to see the forest from the trees or something like that. You're outside, and when you listen, when you hear all the things that are going on in this country, when you stand back and look at it, how is this Marxist globalist agenda at work in the United States? How do you see it moving to bring this nation into the same position maybe as an Australia or an Austria or, you know, a police state or a totalitarian government or whatever it is? How do you see that working here right now? Is there still resistance? Is there still a bastion of liberty and freedom? Or are all these things that are happening, you know, from your perspective, just bringing this deeper and deeper into, you know, that control, that globalist agenda you're talking about?
I think everything is bringing us into the globalist agenda. You know, and it's part of it is due to our own ignorance as a nation, as in terms of what, you know, what Marxism actually looks like. You know, and what we learned in school was we looked at the Russian Revolution and we saw this violent revolution, this revolt of the proletariat against the bourgeoisie, you know, working class against the capitalist class. But what people don't really realize is that the Marxists themselves realized that their violent revolution failed to bring about the desired utopia that Marx had pretty much prophesied. And so what happened is there was a school called the Frankfurt School in Frankfurt, Germany that was formed. And it was where the basically failed Marxists got together and said, okay, well, how are we going to go about doing this? And what they determined was that a violent revolution wasn't really the best way to do it. So what they needed was a cultural revolution. And they needed to gain control of the power structures, political power structures in the nation by changing the culture, changing the cultural perspective. And I think I mentioned the last time I was on, I mentioned Cleon Skousen back in 1963, came out with the 45 points of the communist plan in the United States, you know, and it had to do with education, religion, all the different, you heard of the Seven Mountains Mandate, yes. Right? With
are they any longer a Christian nation?
Oh, Patricia's sending signals from the sideline. Somebody's asking her, are you talking about Honduras or the United States, babe? Where you are. So are you any longer in Honduras a Christian nation? Was it ever considered to be a Christian country? Jesus taught, just everybody get along.
that's the problem. Is that you see the same thing within evangelical churches, and yeah, you know, there's so many elements to this. You know, when you're dealing with other cultures, there are three basic different cultural paradigms that you're walking into, especially as a missionary. One is power shame. So if you go to the Middle East and you see like fathers killing their daughters because they dishonored the family, that's because it's an honor and shame culture. So their value systems are based on whether you're honoring your family or whether you're bringing shame to your family, for instance. The United States is an innocence guilt culture, right? And so if you look at any kind of media narrative, it's always they're always pointing the finger. There's always somebody who's a good guy, somebody who's a bad guy. That's how we grew up watching Cowboys and Indians, Star Trek, all everything. Our whole culture is this guilt, innocence, the good versus evil kind of a paradigm. And we assume that that's how the rest of the world thinks, right? Now, when you go to third world countries, especially like Hispanic third world countries and in Africa, that's a power fear culture. And so people, you know, they walk through their lives trying to determine, you know, religion is based on fear and power, for instance. So Christianity is manifestations of God's power, supernatural manifestations of power are how you gain credibility. Having power within and the ability to have the authority to dictate to other people in a workplace or in a public setting, that's ideal, you know. And so
and you have the witch doctor too.
Right, yeah. So, you know, the superstition is more prone to and occultic practices are more prone to being found in third world power fear cultures. And so we're living in this here in Honduras, we're living in a power fear culture. And that has more to do with the apostasy that you see happening in the charismatic movement here, in the Catholic Church here, and then just in the way that people think they go about their daily lives. So they either have power or they don't. If they can find a way to gain power, and it doesn't matter if it requires deception or whatever, the question is like, do I have power? And if I don't have power, then I'm afraid and I back down and I just go with the flow. And so what happens in that kind of a setting is that the idea of hope and being able to see a future, a vision, you know, God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge and for lack of vision. And so it's very, very hard in a culture that's based on power and fear, where there's an absence of hope for the future to get them to be future-oriented. So life just becomes like, I just got to get by for today. You know, the government may come down and gun me down tomorrow. I don't know, but today I got to eat. So I'm going to do what I need to do to eat today. Yeah.
Amazing. So how would you describe the kingdom culture? I mean, you talked about the innocence guilt culture, the honor shame culture, the power fear culture in the world. So what would the culture of the kingdom be like from your perspective? How do you view for individuals like myself, yourself, and others around the world? We're not to be a part of any of these cultures on earth. Our culture is the kingdom. And that doesn't take away, you know, I grew up in Israel and I'm a Hebrew and I have a Hebrew culture. But when I'm born again into the kingdom, I have to bring my culture into it for some purpose. And what is the kingdom culture?
Well, first off, the kingdom culture encompasses all three.
Okay.
You know, there's an element that can be found. There is an element of fearing God, you know, and fearing God. The reason why we fear God is ultimately because we acknowledge his power, his sovereignty, his omniscience, you know, and
the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah, and then there's the honor shame. There's like I don't want to dishonor my family. I don't want to dishonor my church, my brothers. I don't want to dishonor my God.
Amen.
First and foremost, you know. But I think the very root of it is innocence guilt. You know, it's
the tree of knowledge.
It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, and so there's this. I mean, ultimately Jesus came because of sin. He came to be a propitiation of our sin, and he came to restore creation to its original state that it was in the garden when it was stolen, when Eve was beguiled by the serpent. And so I think all three are involved. But at the same time, it's transcendent. It's not, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world.
True.
You know? So therefore, that's why we want to be aware. We don't want to be ignorant of the wiles of the devil. We want to know what he's up to. We want to know the direction things are going in. We want to know the signs of the times. We don't want to become enmeshed in them. We want to be able to rise above them. And that's one of the biggest challenges for being a missionary in a foreign nation, is to be able to, like, to get people to realize that they need to step out. And here's your culture. I understand how you see things.
Honor it. But
we have to honor it, you know, which means you move very, very slowly, because you have to become accepted within and become a part of a community in order to be able to have the credibility to speak into
know,
amen.
We were talking about this yesterday, I think, because after your broadcast, and I was telling Brian that, you know, just growing up and not, I don't know, I was just like a free spirit. I didn't have a lot of discipline. And I didn't have any kind of patriotic thing at all. My parents didn't speak about, you know, politics or God or anything. And so I was just on my own. And so I never got attached to any kind of patriotism. And so I never considered myself like a proud American. I never was. I did travel when I was 19 in different countries around the world. But, and so when I got saved, it, I mean, it, there was no, I see a lot of people that that are really been brought up in their culture in little spots in the United States that are very patriotic, like the East Coast where the Pilgrims landed and stuff. And Brian's trying to educate me about that. Because I'm from the West Coast. I was born in Arizona. With that background, but like, I mean, to me, it was like a no-brainer. Come on, you got to drop this nationalism. I mean, yes, you know, and to bring in the full kingdom perspective, you can't have one foot in saying, I'm an American, I love my, and then one foot in the kingdom. I just don't understand that. It's really simple for me to think that way, but, and I have a lot of empathy for people that have that patriotism. You know, because they're part of the people that really stood and built this country. But, you know, I think first and foremost is our identity has to be in Christ, that we live in the kingdom of God, and we walk in the kingdom of God, and we embrace it, and we're sojourners, and we're going to another place. And until we can really lay down that heart, you know, and it's a hard work for people, but,
Yeah.
You know, there's other things that I just think that we have to look at the, you know, at the really the words of Jesus and what he means when he, that was the question you asked.
Yeah. So when I read Romans chapter 14, verse 17, I mean, this is Paul writing to the church at Rome, obviously, and he said this, and I wonder if this is not part of the kingdom culture. And that was well said. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Is that the kingdom culture? Is it a spiritual environment?
I think that's definitely the fruit of it. Yeah, that's one way that we know a tree by its fruit. So.
And it is a system. I mean, there is a government. There is a king. I mean, it is a culture, a government, a system. It's all of that with a sovereign Lord on the throne. Hallelujah. And thank God we belong to his kingdom.
Yeah, I think the problem is sometimes like, you might grab onto that description of the kingdom, those three things, and being in the world, you'll find, well, we got to have that joy. And so we get joy from outside of the kingdom. You know, we make mistakes by trying to find the joy outside of the kingdom principles. And that righteousness and that peace. He says, peace I give you, but not as the world knows. It's like, you know, in the world you think, oh, our country's at peace. We're not at war. That's good. But as a Christian, we could be completely under spiritual warfare, completely with things manifesting in the flesh, with sickness, with poverty, with finances, with homelessness. And but he says that he will give us peace in the midst of that. You know,
amen.
And so his things are definitely, you know, the definition doesn't apply to the world way of looking at those words, you know. And I think when I shared when I got saved, that moment that I was slain with spirit and, you know, I didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't know about born again or anything, but that supernatural Holy Spirit touched me. And, you know, when I got up off that floor, I mean, I actually went from, you know, death, wanting to die, to completely life, wanting to live. And all I can say is that was my definite. That's how I understood the abundant life. Mm-hmm. Nothing whatsoever changed in my outside circumstances in that moment. And it didn't for many years. But I had the abundant life of, you know, because I had, my God is for me. Who could be against me to start with?
Amen. So every parable that Jesus taught about the kingdom, it at least appears to me, that his whole idea was to bring this spiritual kingdom, this heavenly kingdom, into this earth, and he began in the heart of every individual that received him, seeing that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I always viewed it as, well, the king, if I receive the Holy Spirit into my life, the Holy Spirit brings every bit of the kingdom of heaven into my life, and it begins as a very small little leaven, and then eventually it grows up. So there's a growing that takes place within us, and then ultimately the desire of God is to bring his kingdom into this earth and all over the world. I want to do something. I don't know why this is in my heart so much today, but I want to give people that are tuning into the broadcast an opportunity to speak to both of you. And maybe there's someone out there today, you have some questions for Brian and Kathy, maybe some comments, things you'd like to say. I know yesterday, our dear brother, Pastor Michael V, was going to be here for you guys. And he wanted to get on the air and he wanted to see you face to face and for you to see him because he was in Kauai. He lived there in Kauai and Hawaii, and he's been listening to you guys. And so he was going to be here, and then it didn't work, and he's not here today, but maybe he's listening. And there are, you know, those that are tuning in right now. Maybe if you have a question or a comment, or you would like to just talk with Brian and Kathy today and, you know, pick their brain about something and talk to them. I have never asked them a question that they didn't have a great answer to. So the number to call, obviously, is 818-369, and they're not just making up those answers, by the way. They're good answers. So 818-369-0326. We're going to keep that line open for the rest of the broadcast. So 818-369-0326. I'll put it on the board right now. And you can press 1 on your dial pad, and that'll bring you right into the broadcast. So question, comment, you want to call, talk into this broadcast. Ask them a question, something important to you. You'd like to get their biblical perspective, their spiritual perspective. This would be a great time to do that. And, of course, in the comment room, if you have any questions or comments you want to ask in the chat room, make sure to do that. You know, we've known Brian and Kathy for a few months now, and we're just beginning to build this relationship, and we are getting together once a week, and we're enjoying the conversation. And, you know, there's just – and we always begin it kind of the same way. Wow. There's so much going on in the world today, and there's so much going on in the kingdom today, and we try to explore all of that. But I just feel very strongly that some of you out there today need to call into the broadcast. You need to address Brian and Kathy, speak your heart to them. What is your sense about what they're doing? Originally, the intention of them being in Honduras was to be missionaries. They are missionaries. And let me ask you guys this question right now. You've been there for 7 years, I think, is what you said.
4 years.
4 years. And you're getting ready to travel back to the United States. Is that correct? And how's that going?
Just started packing today. You leave Monday.
No wonder why you have that big smile on your face. Yeah, you guys look very happy today, and you always do. But so you're packing up. Are you happy about going?
It's not perfect back, you know, at where we're going back to, and there's a lot of sad things that are taking place, especially in our family, but I'm just happy that there's movement, because I feel like we've been in the wilderness for a long, long time, and I just need some movement to get out, you know, and we don't know what God's got next. I don't know.
Yeah.
That it's been really challenging because you know, we're going back there with a one-way ticket because we don't know how long it would take to take care of some of the business that we have to take care of. And we're planning on coming back in January here, and we're going to pay 2 months rent on our apartment. We're leaving everything, taking a bunch of other little things. And so, but there's a chance that we might not be called back here. But we feel like the Lord has said, you know what, one step at a time, get to Kauai, and I'll show you what's next.
Amen.
So,
yeah, and you never know in this volatile world. Danny Gonzalez is writing in right now on the Facebook page, and you're getting a lot of good mornings, by the way. I don't know if you guys see the comments or not, but Danny Gonzalez is saying, facing COVID passport mandate, more Swedes get microchip implants following Sweden's announcement that the coronavirus vaccine passport requirement will be put into practice, the number of people who got microchips inserted under their skin rose, according to local media. According to Digital Cultures researcher Mal Peterson, around 6,000 people in Sweden have so far had a chip inserted in their hands. And I think Danny would like you to speak into that just a little bit, because you're going to be traveling as well. And you never know if you're going to be in a place where they say, well, you can't travel without this passport or something to that effect soon, right?
Yeah.
Where do you see that going, Brian?
I'm amazed. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but I see the connection. I see the plan where the World Health Organization has a plan to incorporate blockchain, which is what cryptocurrencies are based upon, into the vaccine passport and make the vaccine passport a blockchain secure thing, which makes perfect sense from a logical, pragmatic point of view, right? And then I talked about the fact that Microsoft actually has a patent for body activated crypto based currency mining, meaning the things that you do, you earn money doing crypto. And it sounds like a great idea. They actually have a patent for it, right? And then there's the whole entire plan with the Global Futures 2045. There's a website you can go on where they have a plan to basically download everybody's consciousness into a computer avatar, which sounds absolutely insane. But ultimately, it's like we talked about the movie The Matrix one day in a church service, but it's literally creating a matrix. They're actually thinking they're going to do this, you know? And so there's also an app. It's called the Coin App that you can get on iOS or you can get it on Android. And you can actually earn cryptocurrency by doing these medium little silly fast playing these games, or you can enable your location and actually earn cryptocurrency by taking steps, by exercising, by traveling. So it's already in place. And now I knew this week had been experimenting with chips for a while, but now I just saw that same thing yesterday where people are actually incorporating their vaccine passport into a chip. And this is where we're going. So this is completely, this is the mark of the beast on the way. They're building the infrastructure. We're not going to see the actual mark of the beast until we see the actual Antichrist, and we need to pay attention to what the events that are taking place in the Middle East to determine who the Antichrist actually is, because that's when it will be revealed. But it's totally.
Okay. Now, that's just the beginning of this conversation, I'm convinced. And I want to, we've got a call coming in. I've not seen this number before, so let me grab this out. It's coming in from area code 313-797. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You have a question or comment for Kathy or Brian?
Yeah, my name's Jim. I'm calling from a spot in Michigan. I was wondering if we could actually pray. I'm a little confused. I hope I'm not expelling too much. The other night I was watching TV and my son had one of his friends over. And I walked in on essentially him fornicating in front of the TV with his friend. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So call in from Michigan. About a father. Well, let's keep on with the conversation here. Go ahead. So you see your son doing something in front of the TV. What else do you want to say?
I'm the whole Antichrist going on and everything else. I don't exactly know how to approach him, I guess.
Okay. All right. So pretty tough situation. All right, so pretty tough situation. Coming in from Michigan, prayer was requested, and they were not hearing anybody on Blog Talk Radio. So let me find out what that was about. Let me just work with this a little bit. So go ahead, the caller in Michigan. You guys just went through a rough spot, so let's continue your conversation, please.
I was mainly looking for maybe a little insight, I guess you could say.
All right. Well, we'll give that to you right now. Let's see what do you do, Kathy and Brian, when you are in this situation and you're a parent, you step into the house, you see your children fornicating in front of the television. You don't know what to do as a parent. That seems to be the question.
Children, like under.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the not siblings.
Right.
Yeah,
what I'd like to do is I want to shift. I'm not sure. I think that caller needs to contact us offline, off the air, about that situation. It's a distraction from where we want to go. We could get that in there. No doubt. I think we can hear you now. Can't hear the caller. Okay. So, again, waiting for those calls coming in. Area code 818-369-0326, and I'll explain this later when we get off the air about that particular call. So getting back to the vaccine passports, getting back to what's happening, I thought it was very imminent. What's the new variant called? The
Omicron. Yeah.
Omicron. Yeah. Very interesting that they skipped the two Greek letters, the new, the N-U, and the X-I. And because the Z, the X-I, was the president of China's name. Now, Brian, Kathy, this goes back to Revelation chapter 13, that the mark of the beast and the number of the number 666 is the number of a man's name. And then we studied how in 600 it's the Chi, and the 60 is the Z, the XI, and then the 6 is the stigma. So the number 666 is the Chi, Z, stigma. The man's name is right in the middle of the number. And we talked about the mark, the karagma, being a sharp instrument that pierces the skin or a microchip or something in the arm. And people are wrestling, oh, it's the mark of the beast. Well, it's not the mark of the beast. And, you know, that would be way too obvious. But the way things are going, are we literally witnessing the administration of the mark of the beast with people that are getting microchipped or implanted, from your perspective?
You know, I don't know. And the reason why I say that is because the Antichrist, it hasn't been revealed yet. And my understanding, this is my understanding, and anybody's welcome to correct me, but this is just what I seem to be getting, is that we need to identify the beast. We need to keep our eyes focused on Matthew 24 and Daniel chapter 12. And Revelation 13, right? And that when you see the abomination of desolation, which is probably going to be the time of Jacob's trouble out of Jeremiah 31, when you see that happening, when you see the daily sacrifice re-implemented on the Temple Mount.
Okay. Go ahead, Brian, it's just me.
Stated on the Temple Mount, it's going to be the Antichrist who's going to allow that to happen. He's going to pave the way for that to happen. He'll be behind that. So interesting that we're talking about this right now, because I think it's Prophecy News watching in the emails now. They're talking about the fact that they're actually rehearsing in preparation for when the sacrifice will be reinstated on the Temple Mount. And so when we were in Israel in 2018, I think it was, and we actually saw the affordable altar that the Sanhedrin there had ready to go. And then the prosecutors watched, they had a picture of it. And they're actually rehearsing re-implement the daily sacrifice. And so when you see that happening, it's an indeterminate amount of time, but the Bible says in Matthew 24, it says that when you see it, when it's taken away, and also in Daniel, when you see it taken away, that's when you're going to flee the Jews, the remnant Jews are going to flee to the mountains, because that's when the tribulation actually begins, 3.5 years. So that's my understanding, how I interpret scripture to say, like, that's how we're going to know. Now, the market in the rest of the world, it seems to me, maybe somebody else reads it differently, but it seems to me that the mark of the beast will come first, will be the worship of the beast, and then he will cause everyone to take a mark, and then no one will be able to buy, sell, or trade without that mark. Now, whether or not, I would think there's a
Right. Yeah, great conversation, and we're going to go deeper into it right now. Remember, the number is on the screen, 818-369-0326. Questions, comments, we have a caller from Michigan, wants prayer. We will definitely do that. Danny Gonzalez gave you an amen out there. So let's go a little deeper into this. Now, folks, you're out there right now. You have opportunity. You have a very well-studied individual, and Brian and Kathy are that one. And so questions, comments, speak into their reality. They are one. They love that. So the number again, 818-369. Yeah, babe.
I'm
okay, let me bring you into the broadcast, Patricia Joy. So here we go. You're going to get a big question from Mama Pat. Here you go.
Yeah.
All right. So Patricia Joy, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You are on the air.
Good morning, dear husband, and good morning, Brian and Kathy. It is wonderful to have you on the air. It has been a highlight of our ministry in many ways. And so I'm not only thankful to you, but I thank the good Lord that this took place. But I do have an incredible question, I think, because I never truly understood it. And I was hoping you can help me with it. And this has to do... In 1959, I witnessed as a little girl, Khrushchev speaking before the United Nations in the General Assembly, and he told Americans that the Soviet Union would feed small doses of socialism until you will finally wake up and find you already have communism. And he also delivered the prediction, and it was prophetic, that America would be definitely dealt with, and he banged his shoe on the podium. My question to you is, how was he able to know that that would be fulfilled?
Khrushchev, yeah.
Exactly.
classic Marxist strategy that is being used with black against white. You know, it's not like the left. These people really are pro-transgender. They just know that it's another way to create incite, you know, riots and violence and conflict. And while we're busy beating each other up, and while we're busy getting into a civil war, like what looks like that we're headed for potentially in the United States, that is just going to be a tool, a means to their final end, which would be to implement a global world order.
So we go back to kingdoms. And Patricia, did that help you? Did you get your answer?
Yes, in fact, beautifully informed, both of them, and I believe the Lord had them in the right place up on that mountaintop to receive information necessary for the times we're in. And yes, I have been helped by it, and it does confirm. Thank you.
All right. Great question. That's coming from way back out of the blast, man. We're talking Khrushchev banging his shoe on the table of the podium. And everybody was laughing, I think, in that clip when he did that. Everybody in the United Nations was kind of laughing. We're going to take America without a shot fired and all that stuff. You know, we know scripturally, biblically, that Satan is known as the god of this world. And he had this ability to give his kingdom to Jesus. He said, you know, bow down, worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms. And so kingdoms come and go. But getting back to what you were just saying, Brian, the long-term agenda that began in the Garden of Eden at the fall of man was for Satan to come to a place in Isaiah 14, I will be his god. I will be worshipped. I will ascend above the stars of heaven. So the whole idea in the book of Revelation confirms that for a moment, a solar eclipse, if you will, this Antichrist, this devil, this Lucifer, this Satan, will actually come to his great grandioso dream of being the god of this world, where all the people of this earth will worship him. Literally, they will worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So it's not just a 40-year agenda or a 100-year agenda. This is a 6,000-year agenda of the satanic mind of the enemy. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually a 7,000-year agenda. Because
true.
If you want to talk about the Great Reset, the actual Great Reset is in Revelation 21. No, it's when we see what was stolen in the garden restored.
Amen. That is so true. Don't we thank God that we're living in a world where we have hope in Jesus Christ? Let me just say to our friends out there on Facebook, YouTube, guys, I hope you're hearing everything clearly. I've been asking, but I'm not getting any feedback. I hope we're doing okay on Blog Talk Radio. The only way to figure that out, Patricia was just on. We want to make sure that everybody's hearing on all different mechanisms. You know, this is just part of the warfare. This happens once in a while until we get it all worked out. All right, so questions, comments, 818-369-0326, and then make sure you to press 1 on your dial pad. We were talking about, this seems to hit the nerve right here. You're getting Brian, Kathy, Gray, excellent anointed prophetic teaching. Also, maybe Pastor Vince can email a copy of that word he read off his phone. So good, November 28th. Not sure what that is, but we could do that. Yes, we hear. All right, good. So we're getting a good call. The thing that struck the nerve today, the thing that I just saw things popping, was that in, what was it, not Norway, Switzerland, Sweden, where people are actually accelerating and getting an implant in their bodies because this is part of the vaccine passport. Now, this new variant that they're touting, I was listening very carefully the last few days, and they kept saying, well, we'll know in 2 weeks, in 2 weeks, in 2 weeks, in 2 weeks. And it's almost when I was starting to look at their eyes when they were saying 2 weeks, it was almost like they were sending out a signal. How quickly can things change in 2 weeks in this volatile atmosphere that we're living on upon planet Earth? Brian and Kathy, can you speak into that?
Yeah. One day at a time, and there could be an EMP, is that what it's called? Yeah, and that's instant. You're stuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's why.
Brian and Kathy, you're right on. And, you know, yesterday it was, I was sitting here, I was talking, I was thinking about Nazi Germany. And, you know, it's easy for us 80 years down the road, wherever we are close in time, it's easy for us to say, oh, yeah, just, you know, back there in 1930s and 40s, this happened. And, you know, the leader of Iran will say, no, that never happened, the Holocaust. But everything in history tells us this happened, that there were Jewish people that were caught in a snare, in a particular location in Germany, okay? And they were caught. And 6 million of these captured people, approximately, were slaughtered. They were killed. It was something that the world stood back and watched and heard of and viewed to some degree. But again, as usual, well, if it's not happening to me, then I'm really not that interested in it. But the more news that came out and the more reality, now we go back in history and we realize what happened. Well, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And the unique thing about the Bible is that the book of Revelation says that it's a global reality. And so what is coming on this earth is not going to be in an isolated place over there where I'm disconnected from it. It's going to happen in Honduras. It's going to happen in Europe. It's going to happen in Asia. It's going to happen on the islands of the sea. Something's coming that Yeshua warned us of, that he said it will come like a snare on the whole earth and they will not escape. And it's as though we could see it, because thank God we have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. But it's still kind of imperceptible. It's kind of, well, it's there, but could it be? And we're kind of questioning, what is the wisdom right now for God's people seeing, witnessing? It is still preparing, isn't it? And what does that preparation involve?
Well, the first thing is knowing the signs of the time, knowing the signs. And that's why I tend to emphasize looking at the events that are taking place in the Middle East, because that's the proverbial canary in the coal mine. When you see the things taking place there, that's when we're, you know, absolutely. So if you're in, for instance, when Israel is attacked, the time of Jacob's trouble from Jeremiah 31 takes place, and Israel is overrun, and you're not in the place that you're supposed to be in at that time, you might be in really big trouble. But the tendency is either, I think, in terms of errors, in terms of Christian eschatology, that they tend to focus exclusively on everything that's happening in the Middle East, and like you say, it's like, well, that's just over there, and that's where it's going to happen, and maybe you're not going to be too affected by it, you just watch. Or the complete opposite, well, that's just the news, and so, you know, I'm not going to worry about that at all, you know. And the fact of the matter is, like, those are signs for us. Now, for the Jewish people, whoever's in Israel, then that's, they better just flee, they better head for the mountains, don't look down into your house, don't do anything, just run. But the same is going to apply for the rest of us. We don't, and we need to be intimate enough with the Holy Spirit, we need to be intimate with the voice of God to be able to know what that means for us specifically. You know, because there may be people that are right in the thick of things in the middle of South Central LA. We have some friends that are trying to get people some comfort work there as missionaries in Skid Row. Now it's like, they can be there, and if they're called to be there, God may protect them and preserve them in the midst of all that chaos, you know, just like he's preserved us so many times here on the mission field. When we thought we were going to die for Europe, he can preserve you wherever you are, but the key is knowing is being where you're supposed to be, you know. So it's like the only way that you're going to know where you're supposed to be is, one, understanding, searching the scriptures, right, and asking God, you know, and being intimate enough with him that you actually
Amen.
Hear what he's saying.
Amen.
When he says stop, when he says go.
Amen. And that's a real life, isn't it? No, go ahead. I'm just saying that's a real life. That's a real way of living. Yes, he is. Balance. Balance, absolutely. Yeah.
But, you know, and I don't want to take away from anybody being a watchman. We need the Watchman, but also we should at least see where God's leading us, and we need to be able to hear his voice. You know, we hear all the internet stuff and everything.
Yeah.
we can recite everything that's happening on in the world, but like, you can't really recite what God's telling us today.
Well, let's go into that just a little bit, Kathy, because you're talking about the watchman, and it used to be that the people would put a man on the wall to be their watchman because they trusted him, and the watchman saw in advance what was coming. So if the watchman spoke to the people, then they would take heed to what he was saying. So they tried not to put somebody up there that was just being dramatic or hyper-sensationalistic or whatever. They literally saw things in advance, and then they would tell the people, and they would prepare accordingly. But through the years, there have been so many different voices and ideas about this, that, and the other thing. But God takes Ezekiel, and God says, I'm setting you on the wall, and you're going to speak. And whether they listen or not, you know, will determine their outcome in this thing. So, yeah, watchmen are very important. And when we hear the watchmen say something detailed, just real quick, Danny Gonzalez again, Indiana area, talking about what could happen in 2 weeks. He said anything could happen. Trigger words mentioned all over the place. Just last night, they said that the asteroid 4660 Norris has been classified by NASA as a potentially hazardous asteroid. The asteroid monitor of NASA has predicted that it will come close to the planet on December 11th within a two-week period. So again, anything could happen. But the watchmen do see.
Yeah, I mean, you see a complete escalation. I was trying to find it. I saw it about a year ago, but it was the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration had a study where natural disasters in general were up 450% over the previous decade whenever I was looking at that.
Wow. Well, no, please, finish your thought.
No, I just say it's really, in terms of a recent state of the world in post-immediate history, it mirrors that of a pre-World War II, you know, where there's just so much instability. It's not a question of what is going to light the tinder on fire. It's going to be, you know, what side of the pile is going to get lit first.
Yeah. So the three of us that are talking, the people listening, I think if we left the program right now, if we said, okay, goodbye, we'll see you next time, we would probably get off the air and say, yeah, but we didn't really give them the hope that they needed. We didn't really share the good news of what, you know, what's beyond all of this. And sometimes, you know, this is very interesting to me. I'm trying to work this out in my thinking. You know, Jesus told everybody exactly what was going to happen. I mean, he told them, Matthew 24, Mark 13, the book of Revelation, he lays it out there. And we do have a tendency to say, okay, that's true. However, here's some good news. Now, in 70 AD, when the event actually happened, the other side of it, well, there's good news beyond the storm, really didn't take place because they actually were now going through what they were warned. And perhaps they didn't prepare for it because the message of, well, there's also good news, took preeminence, and it caused them to prevent themselves from really dealing with the harsh reality that is coming. And sometimes I feel like, you know, the harsh reality of what we're witnessing through a biblical lens right now at the signs of the times is very real. We all know that beyond that, we have heaven. Our names are in the book of life. As long as we stay the course, we don't get ourselves into that apostate condition, betrayal, hatred, the love of many waxing cold. I mean, there are some serious things. I was just reading this morning how Peter was looking at Jesus saying, I will never be offended. I will never deny you. I will never. And all the disciples were going, yeah, we won't either. And Jesus looks at him and says, really, you don't know yourself too well, because before the cock crows today, you're going to deny me three times. And I think a lot of people in Christianity are feeling like, you know, even ourselves, well, I'm all in with Jesus. I will never deny Jesus. I will never, ever. I'd rather die than do anything. But we don't know what these times are going to confront us with. We just don't understand, because there's a protection against that level of understanding of what's coming. We don't want to deal with that. We don't want to really get into the depths of that. We always want to leave the comfort zone. But that truth that is there will always be there for those who love Jesus Christ. That's a reality. But we're facing things that could potentially rob us from that if we're not careful, if we don't allow ourselves to see things properly. I don't know if I'm making sense or not, but help me.
Go through and think of that scenario.
That's probably that's an incredible message, counting the cost. And that kind of ties in. Do you guys ever feel, or have you seen, and again, this is observation because it's getting down to what we're saying. Sometimes it appears that pastors or leaders of churches, they may inject a hard saying once in a while, but predominantly in order to keep the people coming, they will not remain on a reality that is confronting, even while it's happening all around us. They still don't want to show the people because they don't want them to leave. And on John chapter 6:66, John chapter 6, verse 66, the triple six, Jesus is saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they're walking away from him because they're saying, this is a hard saying. And he didn't turn around and say, well, wait a second. There's another side to this. Hold on. You're going to be okay. He doesn't do that. He's just talking about very real, deep things. And it almost appears to me that pastors won't go there and stay there to equip the people to deal with it until their fear is gone, until they get some tough skin, until they realize, hey, this is going to happen. And, you know, we need to be preparing for this and maybe laying your life down. Does it ever appear that way to you, that people are coddling their kids? Just to keep the people coming.
Yeah. I think it's multiple reasons. You know, I mean, there are pastors who are, they are hirelings, literally. This is their job, and this is, and they're afraid, which is nothing wrong with being supported as a pastor, but it's like when it comes down to, like, you're compromising truth in order to get more money in your coffers, that's a big problem, you know. And then I think the fact that pastors are part of the culture, you know, and we have cultural Christianity, which is just like there was cultural Judaism back in Jeremiah's day, you know, and
wow.
Anybody, when Jeremiah came through and he was that, like, I mean, that's what I feel like I am so much of the time, you know, like I'm a voice of Jeremiah, and we're not the times of Elijah, like these things, these are the days of Elijah, these are the days of Jeremiah, somebody needs to write that song, and I think it's just, Ecclesiastes 1:9, it's like, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that you see done has been done before. And we just see the same cycles playing out in the history over and over and over again among human beings. You know, God is on a linear trajectory from the fall in the Garden of Eden all the way down to the restoration of the kingdom of heaven in Revelation. But as far as human beings and our daily interactions and daily lives, we just keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, which is the definition of you know, and so here we are again. We're in days that are typologically very similar to the days of Jeremiah. You know, and there are some of us that are proclaiming this message and saying, wake up, the train's coming, get on the tracks. And then meanwhile, other people are just saying, you're negative, you're so negative. I don't want to even hear what you're saying. And it's,
well.
I mean, I'm guilty of doing that too. It's just as a person counseling someone or talking as a friend,
yeah.
To another person, I'm like, okay, like, I want to continue this relationship. Do I just give them the hard truth now, or do I just continue to give them a little bit, and then we can continue our relationship, so hopefully one day, then I can give them that hard truth. But I don't know.
Yeah, tell somebody, hey, if you don't repent today and you die, you're going straight to hell. We don't hear that anymore, and we're afraid to say it, but that's more love than telling a lie and whispering in the ears. So I like what you said also, Brian, about, you know, Jeremiah strikes me as a man that he didn't go with the cultural theme of his day. And I would say today that anybody that is flowing with the culture of this hour, and you're just being a cultural Christian, I love that term, by the way, thank you. If you're being a cultural Christian in the world today to be accepted, you're in trouble. I mean, right now, the light and the darkness should be absolutely opposed. This is light, this is darkness, and we see it politically, the left and the right, but that's a big facade. We're talking about a spiritual light contrary to spiritual darkness, an opposition of forces, and yet it's hard to tell anymore. You know, I'm a Christian, but I'm integrated. I'm compromised. I'm involved with this stuff going on. I'm not standing out. I'm not outstanding you know, separated from the things that are going on here, because I'm afraid that I won't fit in, I won't be accepted. This may sound crazy, but the last time I checked, a personal life in a believer wants to do nothing but please God, nothing but please Jesus, even if it means you're an outcast, right? Yeah.
The fact that, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, he died alone. Everybody left him. Everybody fled him. Everybody was disappointed. Everybody thought, like, oh, I guess he wasn't the Messiah. You know, it wasn't until afterwards that even his own apostles, his own disciples really got it, began to get it, you know. I mean, he didn't get it until after he ascended to the right hand of the Father in Acts chapter 1. And I think today we're at a place where we're really at, about another gospel, and Arthur Katz talked about it in the last days, and it's that we have a choice. It's either apostolicity or it's apostasy. Those are the two choices that we have. And, you know, and it's really, Paul talked about in Galatians 1 about another gospel, where he said, if anybody comes to you, to paraphrase him, if anybody comes to you, whether it be us or an angel, he gives you another gospel, but the one that you will preach, let it be a curse. And he says it again, so in verse 8, he says, let it be a curse, and then in verse 9, it again. It says, let it be a curse. And that word curse comes from anathema, which means let it be condemned. It's like, let them go to hell, literally, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
You know, and those are Paul's words in those days. And so, you know, what I see is, in terms of life for Christians, what's coming upon the earth, is we need to look at what life for Christians was like during when Nero went crazy toward the end of his reign, when Peter and Paul were both, and Paul was beheaded. And when you really look at the culture which took place there, I mean, they were putting Christians on lamp posts and pouring oil on them and lighting them on fire to light the streets of Rome. I mean, that's how crazy it was. And what it was the original false flag attack, you know, where Nero burned Rome to the ground because he wanted a great reset, literally. He was burning Rome to the ground, and he framed the Christians and said that Paul led a rebellion and the Christians did it. And that was the persecution that ensued, you know, and it's just, that's what I see coming upon the earth. That's what we need to be prepared to endure. And the thing about enduring and teaching people that they need to endure and to start thinking about what it means to endure is like, hope in the best but plan for the worst, you know? It's like, I don't believe for 10 seconds. There's nothing I see that leads me to believe that there's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture taking me out of here. But you know what? If I'm wrong, I'll be happy. I'm good with that. You know?
Amen.
But in the meantime, I don't see that. What I see is what I need to do is I need to prepare to endure. You know, and you know, ironically, in terms of endurance, I was like, the Lord was speaking to me yesterday when I was getting this tooth yanked out of my head. And I went in, and it's just like, it was all women in the office, and I went in, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm not gonna like scream in pain or anything else like that. I'm gonna put a man up and just take this like a man, whatever it is. And I went in there, and she gave me a couple shots of Novocaine, you know, things were kind of numb, but not completely. And she started going to town, you know, and I'm like, okay, Lord, that's just Jesus, you know, they go to the Lord.
Sweating.
I was reading online, it's like in the United States, it's like they usually give you general anesthesia when they try to do this. So she's just like, okay, so she starts pulling out these different tools and drilling and pulling and chopping, and you know, I'm hearing crack, crack, and I'm like, oh, come on, Lord, okay, Lord.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, get this out. But at the same time, I had to hope, because I knew if I left this thing in there, I was going to be in big trouble by the time I got to the United States. So I'm just like focusing, on one hand, I'm focusing on the hope. This thing is coming out, and I'm going to be relieved, and it's going to be taken care of. And then, but at the same time, it took an hour. She was pulling on that thing for an hour, you know. And when I got done, I was like, okay, I'm tired. I can handle that. Then I realized that so much adrenaline was flowing through my body.
Yeah.
I was shaking, you know. It wasn't an emotional response, but my body was shaking.
It's the first time I heard all that.
Wow. I know. Go ahead.
While I'm enduring, it's the hope of the future, it's the hope of what's coming, it's the hope of why I'm enduring. I'm not just enduring just to endure, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that sometimes personally get into trouble. I make the assumption, like we're talking about, you've been Christian for the same amount of time. It's like, you know what I'm talking about, and it's not always like that. And so it's like I always need to come back and remain focused on what's coming. Remain focused on the fact that if you don't repent, you're going to hell. Bottom line, period. But there is a hope. There's a great hope, and it's a fantastic,
amen,
awesome hope. But that doesn't mean it's not going to hurt.
Yeah, you know, I had something really important I was going to say, but I started sweating while you were telling the story, and I've lost consciousness because I'm reliving sitting in a chair, and the moment they start, man, I tighten up, and the sweat starts pouring, and it's like, oh, God, help me get through this. They're doing their clean. I hate that stuff. That's so bad. That's really, really bad. I'm so sorry you went through that. And to hear crack, that's like, that's one of the worst things you could hear a doctor say is, oops. So, and what's amazing, Kathy, is that he's sitting here today and he's acting like he's normal. I'd have been 3 days on anti-painkillers or whatever they are. And, you know, not that I've done that in 30 years, but I mean, that's rough stuff. And you're here talking, Brian. That's awesome. You are a Marine. You are a Marine. I love that. My goodness. My goodness. Wow. Marcus Lamb died 2 days ago. It's a reality check for a lot of people. I met Marcus and his son, Jonathan, a few years ago, as I said yesterday. And it was true. There was a golf thing. I met them, talked to them about my story being on the Teton Mountains. I don't know the man. I don't know anything about him, what his life story is, what's behind the scenes, and all that. All I know is he died at 64, a man that created quite an empire, quite a massive network that was faithful to at least talk about the vaccine issues going on. Now is being slandered because he was a Christian. Oh, my gosh. He was a Christian. He was against anti-vaccinations. Look, everybody. Look what will happen to you. You know, the left is so. Anyways, he's dead. Left behind his wife, his family, his wealth, his riches. He took nothing out of this world except what was in his heart, the truth. The truth is what he's going into eternity with. And it is a sober call because we're realizing now, you get to a point where you start looking around and it's zero fear-based, but you get to that reality. My pastor used to say, you know, I want to take all the people in our church to the court system. I want to show them, I want to take them through hospitals. I want to take them to graveyards and show. And if the Lord waits, this is where we're heading. You know, let's not pretend that this is going to go on forever and ever and ever in this setting. Death, which is an enemy, which I fully agree, my wife and I, Patricia, and our fellowship and a lot of believers around the world, you know, we believe that the potential is there to be alive and remaining when the Lord returns. And that would be wonderful. But you see things and you see how this is coming. If they loose right now upon this earth a variant, if they loose this thing and they let it rip, and what the Bible talks about, you know, in the time of judgment, you're going to see death everywhere. And either we're going to be under that Psalm 91 blessing and that covenant of the blood, or we're going to start seeing things that should give pause for sobriety. Am I really prepared in my heart to meet the Lord? Please, final words before we go.
Yeah, I mean, we see things coming. We see Bill Gates talking about the fact that we should prepare for a smallpox attack, you know, a weaponized smallpox attack. Then they mysteriously, the feds in Maryland, they mysteriously find these 3 miles of smallpox that they're supposed to be isolated in level 4 labs somewhere, you know. And it's just crazy. So we don't know if something's coming. We don't know when it's coming. And one, have to trust in the fact that not only does, you know, God numbers, he knows the numbers of hairs on our head, and our days are numbered by him, you know, and if we're in him, we're not leaving the earth until it's time for us to go.
Amen.
The time that's appointed by him, we're appointed for a day to be born, and we've been appointed a day to die. And so the focus needs to be, you know, being in him and being dependent upon him for everything. But then the reality is that, you know, remembering, like, looking at the things that you have and really ask yourself, could I let that I love the picture of the new temple in Zechariah, you know, and Zechariah 40, you know, and Ezekiel also.
Ezekiel 48, I think it is. Mm-hmm. 47.
Yeah, the new temple.
Love it.
You know, and it's and that's the eternal perspective. That's where we're headed. That's what we need to have our eyes focused on.
Oh, by the way, with that, Brian, just a quick interjection. Thank you for sending that article. I read it with Patricia, the full and complete article with Art, and that was awesome. Thank you. That was very encouraging. Keeping that eternal perspective is so important to everything. Just because our limited time right now, we've got some errands we've got to run. My daughter's actually coming into town today with my granddaughter. I'm so happy about that. Would you all offer a prayer? Would you just pray for everybody that's remaining with us today? Close us out with a prayer, whatever God puts in your heart.
Sure. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you that you went to the cross, Lord God. Thank you that we can't even begin to comprehend the depth of what was placed on that cross and then after and then your resurrection, Lord God. Now you're seated at the right hand of the Father and you have all the authority of heaven and earth. The only authority that the devil has, the only authority that the kingdom of hell has on is the authority that you prevented, Lord God, either for your judgment or your discipline, Lord God, or just to bring everything that's prophesied to full fruition. Lord God, we just pray for anyone here that is feeling discouraged, Lord God, anyone that is mistakenly hearing about these words of endurance that we need to, that somehow that they're sending doom and gloom and feeling despondent, Lord God. We pray that you would give them a fresh vision of what the kingdom of heaven looks like, what eternity looks like in the eternal great reset, Lord God. And that they would abide in the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, just that they would not be disturbed, Lord God, that they would be at peace in the midst of these things. That they would keep their eyes on the events of the world so that they would know the times and the seasons, Lord God, but keep their eyes focused on you and walk in your peace, Lord God. Pray that everybody, any decision that they make, Lord God, would be that they would be guided by your peace, Lord God. Let peace be the guiding emotional response that determines whether it's your voice or not, Lord God. We just thank you for everything you're doing and everything that you're going to do, Lord God. We try to see it, we try to foresee it, we try to get a picture of what it's going to be like, Lord God, but we don't really know, Lord God. And we just put all of our trust in you and we strive for dependency upon you.
Thank God that we just walk with a prayer being less of us and more of you, God, that as we see these times the signs of the times and the seasons that are coming upon us and we're close to the end of the book, but God, that we have this great hope that is alive, God, that we can focus more on that, Lord God, as well as know the times we're in, that they're so equally important, God. That there is hope no matter what, God. And thank you for Spirit, for guiding us and showing us the things to come. And I thank you, Lord, for that bond of peace that we give in the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters, that God, that we walk in your supernatural peace, God. We can encourage one another. We can admonish one another. We can just embrace each other, God, in the unity of your love and your redemption. And the knowledge of you, God. Thank you, God, for humility in the body of Christ and wonderful watchmen and leaders and pastors, God, that you would give them the strength to guide the flock and give them the courage to say even the hard words, God. Thank you for obedience in the body of Christ, especially the leaders, God. Thank you, Lord, for our brothers. With this beautiful wife, God, and for this broadcast and just their hearts, God. To lead the people, to watch over the flock, God, and give them, I just love their hearts, Lord, that you'll continue to use them in these times, God, and protect them and give them a beautiful time with their family. And God, I pray for the listeners that have been on the air and that will listen in the future, God. I pray that these words just produce hope and fruit. Revelation, God, in their spirit, Lord God, and encouragement, Lord God.
Amen.
For the body of Christ, what you're doing here, we just want to give you all the glory. We love you, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. in Jesus' name. Beautiful, beautiful prayers. And may God bless both of you, the Brian and Kathy, in your journey, as you're packing, as you're moving. May the favor of God be upon your lives. May angels escort you from one place to another. May every demonic strategy to bring opposition or interference be bound in the name of Jesus, that God would send before you that spiritual power and truth of the holy angels of God to clear out of the way all obstacles. Lord, we thank you for directing and guiding Brian and Kathy to their destination, and show them, Lord, place by place, show them one moment to the next, Father, and make their joyful journey joyful. Make it a joyful journey. Let this be a moment of release, and just bless them, Father, with your presence as you go. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, you two wonderful people, God bless you. Safe journeys. And let us know where you are next week.
Yeah. That caller calling asking for counseling. I was an adolescent counselor in my old life, so feel free to pass out our email if that person wants to talk to us directly.
All right. If that individual is really there with us, let's put your email address out there again. I think I have it right here. It's right here. Isn't that it? mission@greyhope.com. All right, so if you're out there, if you were asking that question from Michigan and it was from your heart and you needed to get some real counsel, make sure you give Brian and Kathy a shout. You could text them or email them at mission@greyhope.com in Jesus' name, and that too under the blood of the Lamb. All right, guys, that's it. Shalom. Arrivederci. Sayonara. We're out. Adios, amigos. All right, very good. All right, remember, it is the first week of the month, December, and if you would like to support this ministry, please do so. We have a way that you could give to the ministry right now. One of the easiest things, there's a P.O. box there, P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. Thank you for mailing your gift to the ministry, New Wine Ministry. That's where you would send it to. And just note it. This is for the radio broadcast, or if you want to just give a gift, you're welcome to do that as well. Thank you for your giving. If you want to give online, you could do that by simply going to omegaradio.org. It's right on the screen, www.omegaradio.org, and you can hit the donate button and the giving button. You'll find your way. You could also, if you just want to text in a gift, you could actually get on your phone and you could text 41088-OMEGA. And then type in the word give. It's right there on the screen, 41088-OMEGA. And then just type the word give. And may God bless you in doing that. 41088, lowercase, O-M-E-G-A, OMEGA, all one, 41088-OMEGA. Type in the word give. Thanks, guys, for everything. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. This is Pastor Vincent Xavier. You've been listening to The Watchman here on Omega Radio, Facebook, YouTube, and Blog Talk Radio. Shalom.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.